An amazing pasuk in Parshas Kisavo. Amazing pasuk in Parshas Kisavo. It's an interesting place to start a Hanukkah shiur, but let's see what we can find. V'hayim shemoa tishma b'kol Hashem Elokecha. L'shmor la'asos es kol mitzvosav asher anochi mitzavcha hayom. If you're a good Jew and you keep Torah and mitzvos, everything the Yevanim tried to stop us from doing, u'nesancha Hashem Elokecha elyon al kol goye ha'aretz. Hashem will make you elyon. Hashem will make you dominant. Hashem will give you the upper hand over all of the nations of the world. We're going to learn now from two tzaddikim who lived somewhat in a similar time period. We're going to learn from the Sfas Emes and the Ben Ish Chai. And we're going to try to understand the secret of this word elyon. If you're just there at the word, you'll already see some things jumping out at you. Sfas Emes writes in his writings on Chanukah in source number 2 from the year Tafresh Samach Aleph. The Medrash comments on the Pasuk Zayisra Anan. Zayisra Anan, the Jewish people are compared to a fresh olive that's been squeezed. Kamova Zayis Acher Shaboitinoso Ba'avanim No Saint Shmano. Says the Medrash, just like the olive after you place rocks on top of it, after you put it through the press, it gives forth its oil. And the oil is the best part of the olive. Chazal say in the Gemara in Horios that eating olives causes shechacha. Olives cause a person to forget their Torah, whatever that means. And eating olive oil helps a person to remember one's Torah. So the oil of the olive is really the best part of the olive. It's the oil, the shemen, which is so similar to the word neshama, shmona, which is lamala min ateva. It's the oil which always rises up, tries to, so to speak, lift itself up higher and higher, which is like Klal Yisrael, we try to elevate ourselves, l'malam min ateva. So it's only after the olive has been beaten, amazing idea, the olive has to take a beating in order for the oil to come out. So too the Jewish people were taken advantage of by the Umas Ha'olam, and then we're able to give forth our olive oil. Od sham, the Medrash says further, Kamosha ein hashemen misariv b'mashkin, ula olam tsof lamala, just like the oil doesn't mix, misariv means to mix, with other liquids, rather it's tsof lamala, it floats on top. Kach Yisrael ein yecholin lisariv b'umos, so too the Jewish people don't mix. And the Sfas Emes quotes the pasuk that we started with, the pasuk that says, unasancha hashem alokecha, Elyon al kol goye haaretz. Just like the oil always rises up, so too a Jew who keeps Torah and mitzvos, who's a proud Jew, who's a practicing Jew, who's an elevated Jew, so that Jew is Elyon al kol goye haaretz. He lifts himself up, he rises up like the oil that rises above all other liquids. V'chol zeh miskayim b'yamei Chanukah v'lachein hu b'shem. And Chanukah, says the Sfas Emes, of course, was the time that the Jewish people, Sfas Emes is writing this piece in the year 1900, the Sfas Emes, or sharing this piece in the year 1900, he didn't really write it, shared it, that all of this took place on Chanukah. These two themes that the Medrash brings out from the phrase Zayisra Anan, in the Pasuk in Yirmiyah. On the one hand, Klal Yisrael were beat up, and that produces an oil. And on the other hand, Klal Yisrael fought back and made sure that they knew that they were distinct, that they don't mix. Like we said at Remez yesterday, that when the Torah, at the beginning of the Torah, when it says, Hashem sees the light and the light is good, and Hashem separates that light, Es ha'or ki tov vayavdel, right, the phrase in the fourth pasuk of the Chumash, Hashem sees Es ha'or ki tov vayavdel, Hashem sees that the light is good and He separates it, the same way the olive oil separates itself. So we pointed out yesterday, the Svarim HaKadoshim say that Es Ha'or Ki Tov Vayavdel is Gematria 712, which is 8 times Chanukah, 8 times 89. Es Ha'or Ki Tov Vayavdel is Gematria 8 times Chanukah. Because in Chanukah it's a Zman of Havdalah, and that's why it's oil. Oil is the ultimate Mavdil. Oil doesn't mix. Es Ha'or Ki Tov Vayavdel. Vayavdel. Vayavdel is 52. Vav Yud Beis Dal Lam, Vayavdel. 712 is 8 times Chanukah. So the Jewish people didn't mix, and that's why the miracle came about through Shemen, because shemen doesn't mix. The Yavana made all sorts of harsh decrees against us. Like we learned a lot yesterday in the work of Daliyahu, that they wanted us to mix. They didn't want us to recognize that there's any havdalah between Yisrael la'amim. There's no difference between us and them. B'nai Yisrael, of course, distinguished themselves, and we proved ourselves to be separate and to be different. He says, three lines from the end of source number two, and that's perhaps the remez in the pasuk that we started with. It says the Sfas Emes, if you keep the mitzvos, Parshas Kisavo, if you keep the mitzvos, and you keep the Torah, and you cling to Hashem, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will place you as what? Elyon al kol goyei ha'aretz. Unesancha Elyon, says the Sfas Emes, Elyon is al yavan. You see it? Where it's bolded? Elyon is al yavan. Does Yavan have the upper hand over you? Or do we have the upper hand over Yavan? Says the Sfas Emes, ki Yavan ha-meshubach ben ha-dalet malchios. Because Yavan was the best of the dalet malchios. Now we'll have to see what the best means. Does the best mean that it was the least oppressive or the most oppressive? The best means they were the biggest enemy or they were the weakest enemy? We'll see very clearly in a moment that Ben Ish Chai is going to say they're the weakest enemy. We're going to argue pretty strong this morning that Yavan is the biggest enemy. Yavan is the greatest threat. Because Yavan has real wisdom, and because the wisdom of Yavan is only second to Torah, there's a tremendous danger of what? Of blurring the lines between first place and second place, between Torah Hashem and the Chachma of Yavan. You hear what I'm saying? Anyway, when things are super far apart, it's very easy to tell them apart. But when you look at two things that are very similar, it takes tremendous nuance to tell them apart. Part of the reason that I can get into it now, but the Sarah LaHashem and the Sarah LaAzazel, the Mishnah Yoma, says that the animal that's going to be offered as a carbon to Hashem on Yom Kippur, and the animal that's going to be thrown off the cliff, they have to cost the same amount, they have to look alike, they have to be the same height. We dafka want to bring them together to show that they seem to be similar, and then to mamish show that they're completely worlds apart. One is the Sarah LaHashem, one is the Sarah LaAzazel. In case you think Esav and Yaakov, brothers, so closely connected, twins, you'd think that they have something in common. No, they have nothing in common. They're worlds apart. But the danger of Yavan is because Yavan has a beauty, a true beauty. As we said yesterday, you can't just write off Yavan. Yavan took the world out of the Dark Ages. We have to appreciate that. The Rambam says the Torah can be written in Greek. There's a lot to appreciate from the world of Yavan. But if it's not absorbed in the right way, if it's not on our terms, it becomes the greatest threat to Torah. And that's why the Yavanim didn't like Torah. They wanted to be number one. No one wants to be in second place. So they came, Lashkicham Torah Secha. So therefore the Avodah is to cling to Torah, to cling to mitzvos, and then you'll be rewarded to be Elyon, Al Yavan. So you could ask on this amazing idea, on this pasuk, Elyon, well, why don't we have a pasuk that says Al Bavel? Why don't we have a pasuk that says Al Madai? Why don't we have a pasuk that says Al Edom? Why do we have a word, Elyon, which is Al Yavan? What is it about Yavan that it becomes someone that we have to think about maintaining the upper hand over? Yeah?
Sorry, can I just say two things?
If they're important.
Yeah, sure. So I don't know what the significance of this and what having to do matter. I saw yesterday also Yoshev Beseser Al Yavan.
Right, Yoshev Beseser Elyon, right. The Parak of Tehillim, okay, that's good. You should say that. That's good. Yoshev Beseser Elyon, which you probably, if you have like, I don't know, whatever you use to say the bracha on the candles, if it's a Hanukkah book, presumably they have printed right after that, the Parak of Tehillim, Yoshev Beseser Elyon. Right? Elyon is Al Yavan. And it's part of the secret why we say that Kapitel Tehillim. Good. Yeah, what else?
So, let's take a step back. What we were doing before, I was looking at the numbers. Es-Ha-Or, unless I made a mistake, Es-Ha-Or is also Kumash 613.
Correct. No, because we said that last week. Okay, you are. You're like the Baal HaTurim. Baal HaTurim says Esa or is Gematria 613. Because Hashem took the original light and they hid it Batorah. Batorah 613. That's where the Or HaGanuz is today. Okay? Yeah?
Just to take a guess, I assume the reason why it's all Yavan versus any other religion.
Okay.
Because Yavanim are so to us, we pass it. We're a very spiritual religion, and we're a very physical religion. Not that other, I think the others are a little more of a mix.
So it's complicated, because on the one hand, Yavan is the one that, you know, that elevates the guf in a certain sense to great heights, right? Whether it's in the form of in the form of embracing physicality in a certain way, but they're also the greatest. Well, they're the most similar to us in a certain sense because they're the greatest giants of wisdom.
Yeah, so
again, they brought the world out of the dark ages.
Okay, so they have Aristotle, and everyone
who the Rambam quotes more than Moshe Rabbeinu.
Yeah. So, but and like we also have, like, I think 33% of Nobel Prize winners are Jews. But like we have that as an arsenal religion, but it's not something we look at like, oh, here, come be Jewish because of X.
Okay, so that's exactly the line.
Result of being
exactly
Jewish.
So that's exactly the line, right? Do we take our wisdom and turn it into the success of mankind, or do we attribute all of our success to the Creator of the world, and remind ourselves that as great as our minds are, it's the mind of Hashem, it's the Seichel HaTorah, which is the ultimate wisdom. And but that's exactly where the battlefield is. Okay, there's a pasuk in Mishlei. Pasuk in Mishlei says a very interesting thing. I hope everyone wore tefillin today. I imagine you did. Pasuk in Mishlei says in the third source, Shmor mitzvosai v'chayei v'sorasi ki yishon einecha. Guard my mitzvos and you shall live. Protect my Torah like the ishon einecha, like the pupil of your eye. Right, the eye is very delicate. So watch over my Torah like you protect your own eyes. Kashreim al etzbo secha. Tie the Torah to your fingers. Kasveim al luach libecha. And etch the words, write the words of Torah on your heart. Kashreim al etzbo secha. Tie the Torah to your fingers? What is that about? So you can say, well, it's tefillin. Let's learn the secret of the hand. We may have spoken about it once upon a time, for those who have been in the shir for a while, but I imagine this is going to be very exciting and very new for some of you. The Ben Ish Chai, he's not the first one to speak about this, but we'll see it through his drushos and parshas Kisavo, says, I'm going to tell you what this Nisancha Hashem Lokecha Elyon Al Yavan is all about. He says, Nira li b'siyata d'shmaya, source number 4 in the third line, Diadua da'arba etzbaos hayad. The 4 fingers of the hand, to the exclusion of the thumb. Romzim la'arba malchios, asher imahem klulim kol shar umas ha'olam. 4 fingers, 4 exas. Okay? Which one is which? Which one is Yavan? Which one is Edom? Where's Bavel? Where's Madai? Okay. Usually we assume... I shouldn't say usually, because there's different ways. It's not fair to say usually. I don't know which way is more dominant. Okay, but let's leave it for a second. Let's forget which finger corresponds to which. But 4 fingers represent the 4 exiles. Now, look at the position of the thumb in relation to the 4 fingers. He says, Vahagudol, the goydel, the thumb, levado, the thumb stands apart. Romez li Yisrael, which hints to the Jewish people. Now look what the nations of the world tried to do to us. They tried to take the thumb and they tried to what? Look, you could tuck your thumb into the other 4 fingers. They tried to cover over the thumb. They tried to destroy the thumb. But the thumb has the ability to draw close or to distance itself the most from the other fingers. Because the Jewish people have to try to havdalah, keep apart. But the kahu muvdal mishar etzbos, the thumb is separated from the other fingers. Dechsiv hein am levadad yishkon. Like it says in Parshas of Balak, the Jewish people dwell apart. We dwell alone. V'amarti b'seata d'shmaya tam nachon b'davar zeh. I want to try to explain it, says the Ben Ish Chai. D'lachein timsa kol ha'arba etzbos yesh behem shlosha kisharim v'rak ha'godol shnei kisharim. Unbelievable. You have to believe. This is such a good Chanukah shir. You know why? Because it teaches us that everything is Torah. There's nothing that's just natural. You have to make Torah out of everything. The tzaddikim found Torah in everything. Do you ever think about your hand? How many joints are in your hand? So each of the fingers have 3 joints, with the exception of the thumb that has 2. So first of all, let's just add up 3 plus 3 plus 3 plus 3 plus 2. How much is that? 14 is gematria yad. Okay, so that's your yad. The 3 joints of 4 of the fingers plus the 2 joints of the thumb is yad. That's what he's calling Shlosha Ksharim. He's calling the Ksharim. Why is it that the four fingers that represent the four exiles, they represent Bavel, Mada, Yavan, and Edom, the four world powers that oppose the Jewish people? Why do they have three joints and the Jewish people only have two? So says the Ben Yishchai, an unbelievable Giloy. He reveals to us an amazing secret. He says, Ki Yisrael Yekablu Shefa B'HaKadosh Baruch Hu built the Emtzei. Because the Jewish people don't need an intermediary to connect themselves to God. It's just God and us. Straight connection. Nothing in the middle. Nothing stands between us.
Prayer for Hanukkah to everyone. Hope your Hanukkah is going well so far. Ceremony today is a leadership meeting in room 310.
Lekach nikra Kadosh Baruch Hu Elokei Yisrael.
Aval
umas ha'olam eino yecholam lekabel ela al yedei emtzei. He masarim shalahem shalamala.
Lighting
will
be starting at 5:20.
See
you then.
Have
a great day.
You too. Chanukah. Okay, so what does it say? So it says that's why Hashem is called the God of Israel, Elokei Yisrael. Why is God our God? God is the God of all people, no? Is Hashem not the God of all people? Oy, when the Ravin Telz was being murdered by the Nazis, Yimach Shemam. Telz was completely destroyed during the Holocaust. So as he was beating him over the head, he was pistol whipping him. And he said, Rabbiner, where's your God now? So he said, my God, he's also your God. And you'll know that one day soon. Imagine, look in the face of a SS soldier who's brutally murdering you, and he'll say, it's not just my God, you're not exempt. The God that I believe in is the God who's going to come after you also. So what does it mean, Elokei Yisrael? The Umbas HaOlam are Mekablim. Of course they have a relationship with Hashem. But they also have what? They don't have that direct connection to Hashem. They have Sarim Shalahem. They have angels that are appointed over each nation. Each people has an angel, has a ministering angel, that serves as their intermediary between them and God. And therefore, the fingers that have three joints represent some type of Emtza'i, as opposed to what? As opposed to Klal Yisrael, that just has two joints because we have a direct connection to Hashem. And this is the secret, says the Ben Yishchai, of the Pasuk in Mishlei, Kashreim al Etzbo Osecha. Kashreim al Etzbo Osecha. Find the Torah in your fingers. There's so much Torah in your fingers. There are secrets contained in your fingers. He says, it's obvious to us we need to guard our heart. Write the Torah on your heart. We understand the heart is the center of my existence. But why on my fingers? So he says, this is what it means to attach the Torah to one's fingers. Okay? Go to the left-hand column, in the second paragraph. Since the Jewish people correspond to the thumb, the question is like this. Does the hand go like this, or does the hand go like this? Is the thumb on top of the other four fingers, or is the thumb on the bottom of the other four fingers? Well, in those moments when I'm a good Jew, let's say when I'm saying Shema, and I take my hand, the thumb is on top. But God forbid if we do Averos, then the nations of the world, the other fingers rise above the thumb. Says the Ben Yishchai, it should be that what, like the Pasuk said, Elyon al kol gaya aretz, the thumb should be on top. Baram im yechtu v'yishafchu ma'aseim, but if we invert ourselves, if we turn away, Gam horos ha'agodol tiyel lehefich. So then the message of the thumb also undergoes that transformation. Shei omei tachas etzbos, that it stands beneath all the other fingers. Okay? Unbelievable. So now concludes the Ben Yishchai in the last paragraph. But what's the pshat? The question that we ask, why Elyon? Why Al Yavan? Why didn't God make a Hebrew word Al Bavel, Al Edom, Al Madai? Why Elyon, Al Yavan? Is it because Yavan is the best or because Yavan is the worst? Says the Ben Yishchai, Va'od Nirali. Unasancha Hashem Lokecha Elyon, Techalek Tevas Elyon L'shtayim. Break the word Elyon into two, like we saw in the Svas Emes. V'kari ba Al Yavan, and read it Al Yavan. Ki ha'arba malchios haramuzin ba'arbetz boz echad mehem hu Yavan. Because one of the exiles is Yavan. No, so what? So first of all, let me just say like this. Okay? It's a little bit of a machlokas, which finger corresponds to which exile. One could make the case that the middle finger is the finger of Yavan. One could make the case that the middle finger is the finger of Yavan. I'm not going to explain that fully right now. Right? But if so, that means that of the fingers, it's the one that's the tallest. It's the one that thinks it's Elyon. It's the one that thinks that it's on top. Right? If you just hold the hand straight, the middle finger is the tallest finger. Okay? But says the Ben Ish Chai, I'll say differently. He says, why mention Yavan by itself? He says, six lines from the bottom, V'yizkiru b'fnei atzmo al Yavan. Why is Yavan mentioned alone? V'gam al kol gaya ha'aretz heim shlosha malchios. Shinisharu, the other three malchios are just mentioned generally. Ufaratis Yavan, Yavan is specified b'fnei atzmo. Ki hu ha'katon v'ha'chalash sheba'arba malchios. Because Yavan was the weakest of our enemies. Yavan was the weakest of our enemies. How do you see that? How do you see that they were the weakest? Shalohayu yachol lishlot bepoel. Because they didn't rule over us. They didn't dominate us. They didn't kick us out of Eretz Yisrael. Now this is assuming that it was because of their own weakness that they didn't kick us out of Eretz Yisrael. And they didn't destroy the Beis HaMikdash because they couldn't. That's one way to learn it. Or maybe the opposite. Maybe they wanted to what? To create gullus in Eretz Yisrael. Maybe that's the worst. Maybe worse than destroying a Beis HaMikdash is allowing the Beis HaMikdash to function in a defiled state. So one could definitely argue that even though he's saying Yavan is mentioned by itself because it's the weakest, right? First of all, I think if something's singled out, it's probably because it's the most severe, it's the most intense. I told you, who does Hashem respond to first in the Torah? Bereshis bar Elokim es shemayim ves haaretz, v'aretz ha'isa sohu bohu choshech al panei sahom. The Medrash says that's the four exiles. Which one is Yavan? Choshech. And who does Hashem respond to first? Vayomer Elokim, yihi or. We need the or to fight against the choshech. So Yavan's the biggest enemy. In many ways, because Yavan, like Michal was saying, because Yavan in a certain sense is so close to us, that it becomes the greatest existential threat, maybe not a physical threat as much as the others, but the greatest threat to our souls, more so than anyone else. Okay, so this is the secret of the Yad, and this is the reason why some fingers have three joints and some have two. And this is the challenge of making sure that we remain what? Elyon. That we keep the thumb on top. Again, when we say Shema, the thumb is clearly resting on top of the other fingers. Right? We have to be careful that we don't invert our hand and cause the thumb to be on the bottom. But let's go further with this inyan of Elyon. Let's try to understand why, again, Dafka Yavan, we need to make sure that we're Al Yavan, more so than the other ones. Because what does Yavan try to convince us of? Okay, let's continue. Source number five. Bahanchel Elyon Goyim Bahafrido Bnei Adam Yatsev Gvulos Amim Lemispar Bnei Yisrael. Says the pasuk at the end of the Chumash in Parshas Ha'azinu. Bahanchel Elyon Goyim Bahafrido Bnei Adam. As Hashem was, so to speak, dividing up the peoples of the world. There's a lot of different types of people in the world. Right? People often wonder, why is it that God's people are such a small percentage of the world? There's so many other nations and peoples and races and ideologies. So the pasuk tells us, when Hashem was dividing up the borders, the boundaries, the peoples, the various segments of human life, He arranged it lemispar b'nei Yisrael, according to the numbers of b'nei Yisrael. We'll see what that means. Ki chelek Hashem amo Yaakov chevel nachalaso. Because the portion of Hashem is His nation, is His people. Yaakov is the inheritance of Hashem. Yaakov, we are one with Hashem. We are one with Hashem. Let's try to understand what's going on here. The Medrash tells us in Pirkei Dereb Eliezer, in source number 7, that once upon a time, Hashem made a lottery. Yes, you heard me right. Hashem made a lottery to decide which people would be His people. And you know who won the lottery? In case you need something on Hanukkah to help you feel lucky that you're a Jew, well, you are. You're lucky. You won the lottery. You won the lottery. Hashem held the lottery. Could have been any nation. Could have been any people. Of the 70 nations of the world, the Ayin Umos, didn't have to be us. It didn't have to be the family of Yaakov. We got lucky and we won the lottery. Says the Medrash in source number 7, Medrash Pirkei Dereb Eliezer and Perek Chaf Dalet. Uminayin shehipil goralos beinayim. How do we know that Hashem had a lottery? Because it says, Shanemar b'hanchel elyon goyim. It says that we got a nachala. Okay. Anchel Elyon. I don't know. Where do you see a lottery in that? It was something beyond selection. It was some heavenly selection. You have a lottery, it's random. V'nafol goralo shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu al Avram v'al Zaro. And the family of Avram and his descendants were selected, as the pasuk we just read, Ki chelek Hashem amo. Now, when Hashem won us, was he happy? Was he disappointed? Did he see that this was going to work out well? Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Chevel v'goral zeh shenafal alai ratzasa nafshi. Right, the portion that has landed upon me, I desire. I have a ratzon for it. Chavalim naflu li b'ne'imim, says the pasuk. Hashem was so happy. Oh, I won the Jewish people. That's great. I mean, I won the family of Avram, which would become the Jewish people. Et HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Vayera et HaKadosh Baruch Hu, V'shivim ha-malachim, Hasovim kisei kvodo. God and the 70 angels that surround his throne came down to the world, and they were mevalbel all the other people to become 70 different nations. And Hashem assigned an angel for each of the 70 nations. Umano malach ha-kol uma v'uma. V'Yisrael nafal b'chelko v'chevlo. But the portion of Hashem was the Jewish people. And that's what it means. That's what it means. Ki chelek Hashem amo. That's what it means. Ki chelek Hashem. I love those moments. That's what it means. Ki chelek Hashem amo. That we are the portion of Hashem. We are the portion of Hashem. The Targum Yonasan in source number 6 says a similar thing. There was a lottery, and Hashem won. And Michal said to Hashem, the Malach Michal said to Hashem, wow, you're so lucky. And the Malach Gavriel said, wow, great job. God, you won the lottery. That's strange medrash. But it shows that there's a very unique relationship that we have with Hashem that no one else has. Going back to the joints of the hand. If all the other people have to deal and interact with Hashem through an intermediary, through a Malach, the Jewish people don't. Because we won the lottery. And because of that, we have this very direct connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A very, very direct connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Where is the place that has a direct connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? If we're the people that has a direct connection, where is the place? The Gemara says in Ksubis that a person who lives in Eretz Yisrael is like one who has a God. And a person, this is such a painful Gemara to be said in Washington Heights, New York, and a person who's in Chutz La'aretz, it says if he has no God. It says if, of course he has a God, he has a relationship with Hashem. But Eretz Yisrael is the place where one has direct connection to Hashem. Nothing goes through angels in the land of Israel. It's the land that Hashem has his eyes on all the time. The Ramban in Parshas Achrei Mos in source number 8 says where it's bolted. Va'inyan ki Hashem anichvad barakol. Of course Hashem made everything. And wherever you are, you can interact with Hashem. That's all true. However, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a certain protection for Eretz Yisrael. B'sam koach ha-tachtonim b'al-yonim. Of course there's a relationship between the lower realms and the higher realms. V'nason al kol am va'am ba'artosam l'goyayim kochav u'mazel yadua. Kesher noda b'itztagninus. But says the Ramban, as is well known to the astrologers, each land, each nation is given angels, is given a star, is given a mazel, is given something other than what? Than Hashem himself to govern that area. V'zehu sh'ne'mar asher chalak Hashem elokecha osam l'chol ha'amim. Hashem divided up portions. Hashem delegates to all the other lands. Ki chalak l'kula mazalos b'shamayim. Hashem gave each place its own point of entry through various stars and various constellations and various angels. And then through those various doors you come to other points of entry, through the stars, to a malach, I don't know, we don't know what any of these things mean, but it's clear that it's not going straight. It's not going straight to Hashem. However, says the Ramban, continuing where it's bolded, in the second paragraph, V'nei Hashem anichbad hu elokei elokim, or really elokei elohim, v'adonei adonim l'chol ha'olam. Aval Eretz Yisrael emtzos hayishuv hi nachlas Hashem miuchedes l'shmo. But Eretz Yisrael, meaning of course Hashem sits at the top of the chain, right? Meaning, if you're in Uzbekistan and you're communicating through the stars and the constellations that govern that place, and it connects you to Malachim, who will then further process your request. Eventually, the request makes it to Hashem's desk, so to speak. But it takes a long time to get there. There's a series of checks and balances, so to speak. It doesn't just go straight to Hashem. In Eretz Yisrael, however, it's the place where Hashem has a miyuchad connection to. Lo nasan aleha min hamalachim. There are no angels, there are no officers, there are no shotrim u'moshlim. It goes straight to Hashem. And therefore he says in the last two lines, when Klal Yisrael were given Eretz Yisrael, that also means that we share in common with the land of Israel that direct connection to Hashem. Which is helping us now to understand why it has to be that the fight against Yavan takes place in Eretz Yisrael, not exiled from the land. The whole fight is about our unique connection to Hashem. The Yavanim hate that. They want us to stay in Eretz Yisrael and to believe that we don't have that direct connection. They want us to be a nation like all the other nations. Not Yaakov Chevel Nachalaso, not Chelek Hashem Amo, not to be the portion of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's what Eretz Yisrael represents. It's that place of direct connection. It's our place. It's the place that expresses, again, the psukim that we started with, where we become Elyon al Kol Goye Ha'aretz. Yeah, Harris, what do you want to say? Right, right, exactly. Right, our very name, Yisrael, which is the name of the land, Yisrael, we call it Eretz Yisrael, right, is Yashar Kel, is direct to Hashem, exactly, with no intermediaries, no emtsai, nothing getting in the way. What else did the Yavanim hate? They fought against Eretz Yisrael, they wanted to exile us within Eretz Yisrael, it's a very deep idea. When they fought against the Beis HaMikdash, which of course is that place of connection between our thumbs on top, when we ask thumbs up, maybe the secret of thumbs up is when you do thumbs up, right, you're suppressing the Umas HaOlam, and you're saying Klal Yisrael is, so it's a very Jewish thing, thumbs up. New Kavanah for thumbs up. Okay, you have to be Mechave when you do thumbs up from now on. You have to know what that means. As opposed to, I don't know, other signs you can make with your fingers. Maybe a peace sign is not as good. That represents, I don't know, other nations. I don't know. Everything's Torah. You got to think about it. I don't know. Okay, what do the Yavanim hate about the Beis HaMikdash? They hated the Beis HaMikdash. Timu kol ha-shamanim. It's so interesting. Why do we emphasize that the Yavanim didn't like the menorah? What do they have against the menorah? What's the problem with the menorah? If you look in the writings of the Ramchal, in the Derech Hashem, the Ramchal says that each Yom Tov has its own unique characteristics to it. Chanukah, Purim, he writes about in the fourth Chelek of the Derech Hashem. And he writes in source number 9, where it's bolded, he says, yes, they didn't like the Beis HaMikdash in general, and the Avodah of the Kohanim, and the Torah, but one thing that they specifically targeted was the menorah. Ubiprat inyan ha-menorah, lefi tikuneha. That the menorah should be able to function the way it's supposed to. The Yavanim didn't like the menorah. Why didn't they like the menorah? It's so pretty. What's wrong with the menorah? Of all the things in the Beis HaMikdash, we don't see that they targeted the Shulchan. What did they have against the menorah? That they had a kitrug, neged inyanam. They had something so much against, specifically, the menorah. So, however, we need to understand, why was there a menorah in the Beis HaMikdash? What does the menorah of the Beis HaMikdash say to Klal Yisrael? The Gemara tells us in source number 10, the Gemara in Shabbos, Chaf Beis Amud Beis, Michutz leparoches ha'edus ya'aroch. Michutz leparoches ha'edus ba'ol moed ya'aroch. That outside the paroches, meaning in the heichal, in the main sanctuary of the Beis HaMikdash, you should arrange the menorah. Ask the Gemara in source number 10, V'chi la'ora hu tzarech. Does God need our light? It's kind of ironic, you know? Like, oh, God, we're going to provide the lights for your home. You're going to provide the light for my home. Did you notice that I made a sun for you? You're going to provide light for me? Spiritually, I gave you the Torah, which is Ora. Ora zu Torah. You're providing light for me? It's kind of a funny thing, lighting the menorah. Who are we to light the menorah? V'alo kol arbaim shana shahalchu b'nei Yisrael b'midbar lohochu el la'oro. For 40 years we traveled in the Midbar, and who provided light for us? The pillar of fire, Hashem. You provided the light for us. Tosos asks, why does the Gemara say, for 40 years in the Midbar you provided light, for since the beginning of creation you provided light, right? That's Tosos' question. But what are we're going to give light to God? What does the menorah represent? Says the Gemara, where it's bolded, Ela'edus hi labai olam, Shashchina shora b'Yisrael. You know what the menorah represents? the fact that we have Hashras Hashchina amongst us, the miracle of the menorah, not only on Hanukkah, but the fact that the menorah always had a light that was burning, it represents the constant what? Connection between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Shekhinah is amongst us. So you know why the Yavanim hated the menorah? The Yavanim hated the menorah because the menorah is the thing that declares that we have a constant relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's that Ner Ma'aravi, that Western lamp that always stayed illuminated, that declares that the Shekhinah is amongst us, that we have a connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What did the Yavanim try to get us to do? We've quoted the Medrash many times. The Medrash tells us in source number 11, the Yavanim are choshech. They want to extinguish the light of the menorah. And what did the Yavanim used to do? Hechshicha einayim shel Yisrael b'gzeiro sayen. And you know what the Yavanim would say? Kisvu al keren hashur. Take a look in source 11 where it's bolded. She'ein lachem chelek melokei Yisrael. What did the Yavanim say? You don't have a chelek in the Jewish God. You don't have a connection to Hashem. What do you mean we don't have a connection? Just look at your own hands. What are you talking about? We're the only ones who have a direct connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Did you forget the pasuk, Yavanim? Did you forget the pasuk that says, "Ba'anchel elyon al yavan goyim, ki chelek Hashem amo"? The pasuk in Ha'azinu. What are you talking about? So the Yavanim came to Eretz Yisrael, which is a place of connection. And they came to the base of Mikdash, which is a place of connection. And they targeted the menorah, which highlights what? The connection of Klal Yisrael to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And they said, right on the horn of an ox, we want you to openly declare that what? She'ein lachem chelek b'elokei Yisrael. Renounce your connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Say that it's not true, we don't have a special connection. We also, if there's a God out there, then we connect to Him the same way everyone else connects, through a series of intermediaries. But it's not a direct connection. And of course, the fight of Hanukkah is to establish that our connection to Hashem is very direct. And it will always be direct. It's forever direct. Why did the Yavanim tell us to write on the horn of an ox? It's a funny thing, no? Write on the horn of an ox that you don't have a connection to Hashem? Explains the Maharal of Prague, yes. What does the horn of the ox represent? Why can't I use certain types of horns when it comes to Tekiah Shofar? Because I certainly don't want to remind HaKadosh Baruch Hu of the Chet HaEgel. Chet HaEgel is what the Yavanim were trying to say. Kisu al keren hashur. You know what the Chet HaEgel proves? You know what the Yavanim said? The Yavanim said, Chet HaEgel, you can't claim your connection to God is absolute. Look at you. Look how quickly you fell apart. Chet HaEgel? And by the way, what is Chet HaEgel according to the Ramban? What was Chet HaEgel? It wasn't Avodah Zarah. What was it? It was a desire to what? To interact with the Kodesh Baruch Hu by way of an emtza'i. It's exactly this nekuda. You, what are you claiming? You have this direct connection to God. You made the egel. The egel was supposed to be your intermediary between you and God. So you're just like the rest of us. So they wanted us to write on the Keren HaShur. They wanted to remind us of the Chet HaEgel. To say your connection with God is not direct. It's not absolute. Maharal writes in source number 12, in his Sefer Ner Mitzvah on Chanukah, Yesh si luk gam kein lezeh b'mashi Yisrael nifrad me Hashem Yisparach ha'yedei ma'isa egel. Look, you're not absolutely bound to God. It's not a kesher shel kayama. Look how you pulled away from God with the chet ha'egel. Look at the sin of the egel. Shemiyad shehotzi osam mitzrayim. Hashem took you out. He offered to be His chosen ones. He gave you the Torah. Nasan lahem es ha'Torah. And also as egel, and you showed that your bond with God is not absolute. You could also come apart. And if you want to understand the egel again positively, they wanted an emtzi, they wanted an intermediary. V'zeh nira sheyesh pirud v'siluk liYisrael b'davar ma min Hashem Yisbarach mitzad etzem Yisrael. The fact that you pulled away from Hashem so quickly must be that you're not really connected to begin with. It must be that in your essence you're not really connected. If you would have been connected for many, many years and then later down the road pulled away from Hashem a little bit, we could say, okay, it was a yotzei min haklal. It was an aberration. But the fact that so early on in your relationship, things fell apart, it must be that you never really had a relationship. You never really were connected to Hashem. She'ilu hayi Yisrael chavur legamri l'kadosh baruch hu mitzad atzmam. If the chibur, if the attachment to Hashem was an absolute one, lo asu ha'egel bereshis, The first thing you would have done was not create the eagle. It says the Maharal at the end of paragraph 12, that's the Kisru al Keren Ashur, Shein Lachem Chelek B'Lokei Yisrael, that they wanted to be Ma'orer, the Kitrug, the negativity of the eagle against us, to try to prove that what? That the Shekhinah had left us. The menorah represents the Shekhinah being amongst us. The Yavanim wanted to be Ma'orer Chet Egel to say the Shekhinah has left us. As the Ramban writes in Source 13, and then I'll take your comment, Kishechatu Be'egel, says the Ramban in Mishpatim, Ratzalitzaleg Shekhinaso Misocham. Chet Egel means you're not really connected to God. The Shekhinah is not amongst you. And if you're connected to God, it's like any other nation. There's no Chelek Hashem Amo. There's no such thing as God won the lottery and He chose you. There's no absolute bond between the Jewish people and the Rabbanu Shalom, the master of the world. Yes?
Is there another reason possibly that they wanted us to write in the...
Yes. Say.
On the horn of the...
Yes. Say. No, I want to hear how you're going to say it.
You can say that.
No, I can't. I'm working on it. I don't know how to say it.
Okay. I think because the shore is representative of one of the four big people.
Yeah, the Arba Avos Nezikim. Karen. You got to think about Karen.
Shore is Karen.
Shore. Karen.
Right? So.
Oh, you want to say, that's what you want to say. You want to say even, okay. Okay, good. You want to say even the horn that's detached. Right, the detached horn. The detached horn. Yeah. That's exactly it. We're detached from Hashem. There's a lot there. Good. There's a lot there. No, but the Arba Avos Tzadikim can also correspond to the four exiles. And each time you have four, you have to think about the four Galios. Think about the four letters of Hashem's name. You think about the four exiles. There's certain things that come in groups of four that you have to keep in mind and try to align them. Figure it out. Okay? So, Chaver, is everyone with me so far? So we started off with the Pasuk in Parshas Kisavo. We only have a couple minutes left, so let's wrap up. We started off with the Pasuk in Parshas Kisavo that described to us that Hashem wants us, through our commitment to Torah, to be Elyon al Kol Goyei Haaretz. We saw from the Sfas Emes and the Ben Ish Chai that what does it mean, Elyon? Elyon is Al Yavan. That of all the people who we fight against, we have to make sure that we're Al Yavan. The Ben Ish Chai said maybe because they're the weakest. The Sfas Emes said because they're the best. That could be... The best, that means that they're the least oppressive, or maybe it means they're the most oppressive. But we're certainly arguing now that Yavan is the worst of the worst. Because Yavan challenges B'Hanchel Elyon Goyim, the lottery with which Hashem selected the Jewish people to be the Chelek Hashem Amo. Yavan is the one who tries to target Eretz Yisrael, that place of connection. They target Klal Yisrael for having that direct connection. They target the menorah for representing that connection, the Shekhinah's Shora amongst us. And therefore, Kisru al Keren Ashur. Look at Chet HaEgel. You're not really connected. Ein lachem chelek b'Elokei Yisrael. You don't have a real chelek Hashem Amo. You're not fully connected. And therefore, by Chet HaEgel, there was a loss of Shekhinah. So the Yavanim were convinced that the Jewish people are not truly connected. But however, now we come to the final step. And it's not stam that we're having this year today, because today, as I hope you're well aware, is Chafei Kislev. Chaf Hei Kislev. Today is Chaf Hei Kislev. If you look in Source 16, let's jump to Source 16 for a moment. The Tikkunei Zohar in Tikkun Yud Gimel reveals to us a very deep secret about Chaf Hei Kislev. What's the very deep secret about Chaf Hei Kislev? Tikkunei Zohar says, V'ihu hod t'manya yomei d'chanaka. Okay, Chanukah we know is Lahodos u'Lahalal. Hod. Hod is connected to Chanukah. And Hod is the eighth of the Sviros, if you count from the top. If you count from Kesar down to Hod, Hod is number eight. And therefore we have 8 days of Chanukah. He says the first 24 days, Tikkunei Zohar says the first 24 days of Chodesh Kislev correspond to Baruch Shem Kavod Malchuso Li'olam Va'ed, which has 24 letters in it. And then when you come to Chaf Hei Kislev, the first day of Chanukah, it says in Tikkunei Zohar, it's bolded, Inun Chaf Hei Osvin Di Yehuda. If the 24 days that lead up to Chanukah correspond to the 24 letters of Baruch Shem Kavod Malchuso Li'olam Va'ed, which is a lower declaration of our belief in God. Chaf Hei Kislev corresponds to the 25 letters of Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. There are 25 letters in Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, and there are 24 letters in Baruch Shem Kavod Machuso Liolam Ve'ed. And he says, the Tikkun Zohar says, that is the reason why Hanukkah is called Chanu Chaf Hei. The Chaf Hei, Chanu Chaf Hei, the real reason for Hanukkah, the name Hanukkah, is because it alludes to the 25 letters of Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. It's so interesting. When do we use our hand to perform a mitzvah? Where do we take our entire hand and we engage it in a mitzvah in this way? When we say Shema, we take the five fingers of the hand, which now we've learned represent the four exiles in Klal Yisrael. We keep the thumb on top. We cover over our eyes. And we declare, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. What are we emphasizing in that declaration? Well, we're emphasizing, or one of the things I should say, there's a lot of things we're emphasizing, but one of the things that we're emphasizing loud and clear is what? Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu. Hashem is our God, not your God, not the nations of the world. What do you mean? This is the God of all people, of all, creator of everyone. No. There's a different relationship that we have. He's Elokeinu. We start Shemona Esrei, we first say Elokeinu, Elokei Avoseinu. Elokeinu. There has to be a sense of personal connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's what happens when we say Shema. The Gemara says that one of the things the Yavanim outlawed was saying Baruch Hashem, talking about my connection to Hashem, saying Shema. The Gemara even says in Rosh Hashanah in Source 14, that when Yavan made Gezeros, Shelo Lahazkir Shem Shemayim Al Piyam, not to be able to declare Hashem Elokeinu, my God, our God, not the nations of the world. Says the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, when we were victorious, they reinstituted the importance of using the Shem Hashem. Try to say the Shem Hashem. Be like Yosef Atzadik, who in Beis Potiphar, Shem Shemayim Shogar Bepiv. Even in a place that was seemingly very disconnected from Hashem, Yosef was always talking about Hashem. Because Yosef wanted to live with that clear awareness that the connection between a Jew and the Rabbonu Shel Olam is absolute. Cheder Egel never broke anything. Cheder Egel never broke anything. That's what the Yavanim wanted to claim. That Cheder Egel had defeated that connection of Elokeinu, our God. Our unique connection to HaKadosh Baruch. Let me mention something very quickly in parentheses here. I'll tell you why the Yavanim thought that Cheder Egel could destroy our connection to Elokeinu, our God. Actually, you know, let's read the Rashba first, and then I'll tell you. The Rashba in a Tshuva, in the fifth volume of the Shalos and Tshuvas of the Rashba, in Source 15, the Rashba says, some people make a mistake to think that even if there's a God in the world, God does not have direct connection to people. So we disagree on two fronts. We believe that God has direct connections to people, and we believe that God has the highest level of connection, specifically to the Jewish people, His children. Says the Rashba, Lefi shehamis philosophim, the philosophers, Mishtabshin v'gozrin, Shehu yisbarach eino mashkiach bepratim hatachtonim, v'afilu b'min ha'anosh. God doesn't deal with the details of the lower realms, even people, which is His greatest accomplishment, His greatest creation. But God's not involved in the lives of people. It's like those who say, as the Pasuk in Iyov says, Ovim seiser lo, velo yireh, v'chug shamayim yishalach. God hangs out up there. He walks around in the heavens. He doesn't look down what's happening over here. Al kein amar Elokeinu, says the Rashba, when we say Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu, you'll have a new emphasis for the next 8 days. When you say Shema Elokeinu, think for a second, Elokeinu. Elokeinu means what? Ki hu mashkiach banu. Hashem is watching over us in a very precise way. U'mitztarif lezeh shehu manhigenu. V'lo kochav, v'lo mazel, v'lo sar, misari mala raku yizbarach. Direct. Eretz Yisrael dik. Straight connection to Hashem. V'hu hivdilanu lishmo, u'lekachno lechelko. We are the chelek Hashem. Don't let the Yavanim convince you. Kisval karen ashur she'in lachem chelek, velokei Yisrael. Rather, says the Rashba, our pasuk from Hazinu, Banchel Elyon Goyim Ki Chelek. We are the Chelek of Hashem. So let me tell you why I think Yellen thought the Chela Egel would destroy this Elokeinu. How did the Avanim go into the Heichal? How did the Avanim violate the Beis HaMikdash? How were they able to do such a thing? So the Maharal says something, which if the Maharal says it, you know it's a real thing. Maharal is not a lightweight. But it's an idea that you don't find a lot in Sfarim. It's a type of remez that's a little different than maybe what we've seen before. The Maharal says, you know how Yavan is able to violate the Heichal? The Maharal writes in the Sefer Ner Mitzvah. He says, what's the gematria of Yavan? 66. What's the gematria of Heichal? 65. So 66 overpowers 65. Yavan can enter the Heichal. Okay. Interesting idea. It's a new idea. Okay, but Yavan one-ups the Heichal, so to speak. That's why they can go into the Heichal. And Timu kol hashmanim sheba Heichal, the Gemara says. They violated the oil of the Heichal. So here's what I want to suggest. What's the gematria of Elokeinu? What's the gematria of Elokeinu? Obviously with a hey, not a kuf. What's the gematria of Elokeinu? No, Elokim is 86. What's Elokeinu? Hundred and two. What's the gematria of Egel? Ayin Gimel Amud. Egel is 103. So the Yavanim said like this. The Yavanim said, we also learned Maharal. Right? The Yavanim said, Yavan is one more than Heichal. And guess what? Egel is one more than Elokeinu. Elokeinu is also the same gematria. What else is 102? Give me some other 102s. Emunah is 102. Banim is 102. So the Yavanim said, Amuna and Hashem, it's not absolute. Hashem calls you Banim Atem LaHashem Elokeichem, but that's not absolute. Elokeinu, you have a direct connection to Hashem, but that's not absolute. Your decision to make the Egel ruined it. But they were wrong. The math works, right? But the Mahalach doesn't. They were wrong. There's no such thing. Nothing trumps the Amuna of a Jew. And nothing removes the fact that Banim Atem LaHashem Elokeichem, 102. And nothing removes the fact that Elokeinu, that Hashem is absolutely our God without any exceptions whatsoever. Okay, Chevra, turn to the final page. It's Ruah Hamor. Today is Chav Hei Kislev. It's a day of Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. The 25 letters of the 6 words of Shema. Says that Ruah Hamor, why is the Yom Tov called Chanukah? Rav Avram Saba. His granddaughter married Rav Yosef Cairo. He suffered a lot in his life. The Tzurah Amor in Parshas Veschana says, I'll tell you why it's called Chanukah. He says it's called Chanukah because Chanu Chafhei represents the 25 letters of Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. And it was a time of religious persecution. And the Jews couldn't learn Torah. But if you can't learn Bava Kama and Bava Metzi and Bava Basra, there's one phrase that a Jew will always take with him, even if it means taking it to your death. And that is what? A one little pasuk that encompasses Kol HaTorah Kula, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Those 25 letters, the Chashmonaim, he says, took it with them onto the battlefields. And they won the battle as they were on the field screaming out, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. We're not going to allow you to convince us that Ein Lanu Chelek B'Elokei Yisrael. We have an absolute connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And there's nothing can sever that. Nothing in the world can take that away from us. And that's what it means, again, to be Elyon, al kol galei haaretz, to be al yavan, to make sure the thumb knows its place on top. I'd like to suggest that's why the Ramban refers in Parshas Vayechi, when he's criticizing the Chashmonaim, for stealing the Malchus, because only those who come from Yehuda can be a Melech. Kohanim can't be kings. But he still refers to them, the Ramban refers to them in Source 18, he refers to the Chashmonaim, those brave soldiers, as what? He calls them Chasidei Elyon. He calls them the third line, Chasidei Elyon. These were the pious ones, the elevated ones. Elyon is Al Yavan. Chasidei Elyon. These are the ones, the Chashmonaim, who on the battlefield said, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, who understood the secret of Chanu Chafei. What an amazing thing. So in the final source, we conclude, thank you, Hashem, for being our God. Thank you, Hashem, for giving us Shema Yisrael. Thank you, Hashem, for teaching us the secret of the hand, that you gave us a thumb that can stay apart, and hopefully it will stay apart. That the tall finger, maybe the middle finger, which represents Yavan, maybe, right? But Yavan, which represents a certain attack on the relationship that we have with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. We have to remember that our thumb has two joints. By the way, I'll just add one more remes. What's the gematria of the five fingers? You know the names of the five fingers? The thumb is called the goydel. This is called the etzba. The middle finger is called the ama. The ring finger is called the kmitza. And the pinky is called the zeres. Again, goydel, ama, goydel, etzba, etzba lokim, etzba, ama, kmitza, zeres. Kuf, mem, yud, sadi, hay. And zeres. Okay? If you add up, the sefer called Shmua Tova. If you add up the gematria of Godel, Etzpa, Ama, Kmitza, Zeres, now those are just the fingers, you also need your palm, which is the Yad, right? Plus 14 for Yad. So Godel, Etzpa, Ama, Kmitza, Zeres, Yad is gematria Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. So when you take your hand and you cover your eyes, you should know it's not so random. Why don't we cover our, I don't know, why don't we go like this? Why don't we do like Tachlin style? Sefer Shmua Tova says, Godel Etzpa Ama Kmitza Zeres Yad is Gematria Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Unbelievable. So we say to you, Hashem, Ashrei Ha'am Shekach Alo. Thank you, Hashem. No, someone, you tell me the pshat that I'm going to say on this last pasuk. You know this pasuk from Ashrei. Ashrei Ha'am Shekach Alo. Thank you, Hashem, for what? What's low?
36.
The 36 Neiros Chanukah, right? Ashrei Ha'am. Praiseworthy is the nation, Shekach Alo, that were given the 36 Neiros. Ashrei Ha'am Shehashem Eloka. Praiseworthy is the nation, that when we look at those 36 Neiros, we remind ourselves of that Gemara in Shabbos Chaf Beis. Why do we need light? Hashem, you're the light of the world. What do you need our light for? The answer is what? Because it's a reminder that the Shechina is Shora amongst us. Shehashem Eloka, that we have a relationship with Hashem like no one else in the world. So Mirtz Hashem, we should be Zocha, to be Al Yavan, to be Elyon. Al Yavan. And then Amir Tzashem. Amir Tzashem will be able to know our relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, an absolute connection to Hashem, return to Eretz Yisrael, and build the base of Mikdash from Herabi Aminu.
Amen.
Yevanim, Yevanim, Nekretzu Alay, Awazai, Bimek Hashmanim, Ovevartu Choma, Izmidalai, Bemetim, Ogalash, Mavanim, Yevanim, Yevanim, Nekretzu Alay, Awazai,